This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa wa ba'd. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him and to bless all his companions and every single one of us to come up to the day of Qiyamah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all cure from the sicknesses that we have and to have mercy on all those who have passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors for us in terms of goodness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from shaitan at all times. Ameen. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and dearest listeners, this evening, as you notice, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for testing us with a little bit of a throat infection. And that is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely. And we praise Allah on every condition. What it does to us is it makes us raise our hands with a different level of sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant or to ask Him to grant us cure. This is why sickness itself is a gift from Allah. It brings a mu'min closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understanding and realizing that it is Allah who is the owner of cure. Ameen. I don't know where the throat is actually gone right now. Everything seems to be in order. Alhamdulillah. In the verses we read last night, if you recall, we had made mention of Surah Yusuf. And we took a little bit of time in that surah because it would be inappropriate for us to have broken it into some pieces. This evening I want to go through a few verses that we had mentioned last night and then go on to verses that we spoke about or that we recited this evening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Ra'd speaks about the thunder and the lightning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He shows us this lightning and the bolt. It brings two things. It brings fear and it brings hope. Amazing. The same thing brings about fear and hope in the heart of a true believer. Fear in that it may destroy. And hope in that, now there is rain that is going to come for the crop, subhanallah. This also is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He says, do not underestimate the sound of that thunder. It is declaring the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we pause for a moment, we would realize that lightning and thunder only occurs upon the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So naturally, if Allah commands us to fulfill salah and we do it immediately, we would be declaring His praise to one of the highest degrees. So when Allah instructs the lightning and the thunder, it is declaring by obeying the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this in that surah, Surah Ar-Ra'd. Then He speaks about how we as mu'mineen should be achieving the comfort of the soul and the heart by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and declaring His praise as well. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Allah speaks of the comfort of the heart, the peace and serenity within the heart. Allah says, those who believe, how do they achieve the peace of the heart? Through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala includes verbal remembrance. We say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. That is included, obviously. But over and above that, a bigger way of remembrance of Allah is to obey His instructions and abstain from His prohibitions. That is a bigger way of remembrance of Allah. Allah says when a person commits a deed of immorality and then they remember Allah, speaking about remembrance, dhikrullah, dhakarullaha fastaghfaru lidhunubihim, and that remembrance makes them seek forgiveness, Allah says He will forgive such people. That is a sign of a good mu'min when he remembers Allah. So let's understand the meaning of the term remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It includes even sitting and listening to a talk like this, which includes the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rules, the do's and the don'ts. And also the remembrance in tasbihat, the subhanallah, alhamdulillah, allahu akbar, la ilaha illallah, that too is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us achieve that comfort of the heart and the cleansing of the heart, and may Allah improve the conditions of our hearts through His remembrance. Ameen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next surah, which is Surah Ibrahim, He says why He revealed the book. There are so many different verses in the Quran mentioning various reasons why Allah has revealed the book. Very simple, in the opening verses of Surah Ibrahim, Allah says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. The book we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to remove people from the darkness into the light. Which means if we are to follow the Quran and the Sunnah and the Sharia, it will remove us from the darkness to the light. And this is why if a person would like to know whether they are in darkness or light, they only need to check their deeds. If their deeds are conforming to what Allah has revealed, they are in the light. Even if their life seems to be in darkness, but they are in the light. And if they seem to be very happy and enjoying life, but they are against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are in darkness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a deep understanding. And Allah speaks about shaitan on the day of Qiyamah will address those whom he succeeded in deceiving. قَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ Allah says shaitan will say, remember the past tense is used, but it's going to happen. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعْدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ Shaitan will say, Allah promised you a true promise. I promised you, but I was only joking. I promised you, but I was false. And I promised you, and I broke that promise. And I didn't have any authority over you. Why didn't you obey the command of Allah? That's what Shaitan will say, disassociating himself even from those who followed him. Subhanallah. This is why those who follow shaitan will get nowhere. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from shaitan. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nahl as well as in Surah Ibrahim, there is the same verse repeating itself. Allah says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you are going to try and count the gifts of Allah upon you, you will never be able to do that. You won't be able to circumscribe them, to write them all on one sheet, or even to try and jot them down no matter how many sheets you have. You'll never be able to stop counting the gifts of Allah upon you. And this itself is a gift. To be able to ponder over the gifts is a gift. This is why Allah says the true believers are those who constantly ponder over the gifts of Allah upon them. And in the Quran Allah says, in the verses we read last night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are going to be thankful, I will grant you increase. But if you are going to be ungrateful, my punishment may overtake you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not do that to us. It's important we realize so many gifts we have. So many gifts we have. Countless gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are thankful to Allah for that, by obeying His commands, inshallah, He will grant us increase. And if we are not going to be thankful, then definitely we would be asking for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He not do that to us. And one of the last verses of Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses all of us, telling us that don't think that we are oblivious of what the oppressors are doing. We are giving them a little bit of time, respite, some time, and after that we will punish them severely. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ Don't ever think that Allah is oblivious regarding what the oppressors are doing. And this address is for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The lesson is for all of us. Because sometimes they are oppressors. It seems to us that they're getting away with that oppression. Allah says, no, they won't. We know, we are watching, we are in total control. We are allowing them to do certain things for certain reasons. Like for example, those who have been martyred in the battle of Badr, had it not been for the enemy to have come out to them and to have oppressed and to have engaged in war with them, where were they going to be martyrs? So in the battle of Badr, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was a gift for those who were martyred that others came out to tackle them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection And may He grant us peace and stability and security. At the same time, it was a form of punishment for those who came out. And from this we learn that there can be one action or one deed. From one angle, it may be a punishment. And from the other angle, it may be a gift. Let me give you an occurrence, for example, that has both aspects to it. When we have a huge disaster on the globe, say for example, the earthquake that occurred anywhere on the globe, an earthquake that occurred, say for example, in Iran, or the tsunami that affected the people in Indonesia. For those who died whilst engaging in salah, it was a means of entry into Jannah. For those who died whilst in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was a means of earning the high ranks that Allah had promised them. But for those who died in the nightclubs, it was a means of punishment. So nobody can say that the disaster in Pakistan right now is a punishment of Allah. And nobody can say that it is a gift of Allah. But for some, it is a gift. And for some, it is a test. And for some, it is a punishment. So it all depends on the condition of the heart once again. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us and He informs us in the same Quran that if you would like to take a look at the condition of the heart of a mu'min, it is always on what is known as itmi'nan. It is calm because it is content. The sign of happiness of Allah is when you yourself are content. Allah is pleased with you, inshallah. But when a person is not content, then there is a sign that something is wrong. A true believer will never be depressed. But always a true believer will find contentment in the heart by pleasing Allah upon all conditions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deeper understanding. In the verses we read this evening, a powerful verse. And it's a verse to encourage every one of us to memorize the Quran. And to encourage those who have commenced memorizing the Quran never to give up. Allah says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ We have revealed this Quran and we will protect it. So naturally, if we take a look at the meaning of it, we understand it. If Allah revealed the book, He will protect it. The dhikr here does not refer to the book or the writing in it, but it refers to the message, that whole message of the Quran. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to protect the book, we should understand there is a deeper meaning to this. If I make an effort to learn verses of the Quran, because I have verses of the Quran in my heart, Allah has promised He will protect the Quran that is within me. So naturally I need to be protected. I will be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same applies to every one of us. This is why when a young child has memorized the Quran, a lot of people say, this person has memorized the Quran. This person is looking after the Quran. The truth is, the Quran is looking after him. Allahu Akbar. The Quran is looking after him. The Quran, if we are to read it correctly, and if we try our best to adopt its rules and to abstain from its prohibitions, naturally, we will be from amongst the chosen ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahlul Quran, alladhina hum ahlullahi wa khassatuhu. The hadith makes mention of the people of the Quran, those who are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this does not mean the sunnah is any insignificant, no ways. The sunnah, the Quran will lead us to the sunnah if we adopt the Quran correctly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a true understanding of the sharia. So it's important that every one of us makes an effort to memorize the Quran. And when you are trying to memorize the Quran, the shaitan will come to you several times telling you, give up, because he knows this is the biggest gift you can have. He knows this is the biggest gift you can have. Some narrations make mention of how a certain crown will be placed on the head of the parents of those who have memorized the Quran. The question I have is, if that is the case, what about the person himself or herself? One narration says that if a person has memorized the Quran correctly, they will qualify to take over 10 members of the extended family who were supposed to go into Jahannam, into Jannah. The question I have is, so what about that person himself or herself? Subhanallah. Imagine where that status is. And this is why it's important whenever you read the Quran, take your time. and read it correctly as possible. Never rush when it comes to the recitation of the Quran. The reason is, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call out. The caller will call. Allah says, يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ. A person who has the Quran with him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, اقرأ وارتقي. Read, and as you are reading, go up. The first mistake you make, you stop. I'm sure we've heard this hadith. But that mistake will not be connected to your memory. It will be connected to your deeds. If you come to the first page, Allah says, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. Those who fulfill their salah. If we did not fulfill our salah, we get stuck there. May Allah not do that to us. So this is why it's not a joke. But over and above that, Allah will say, read similar to your recitation in the dunya. That is what is of importance. Those who used to rush through the Quran, it will be an embarrassment for them on the day of Qiyamah. They won't be able to recite in any other way besides the way they used to recite. Don't ever feel ashamed of beautifying your voice when it comes to recitation of the Quran. Between you and Allah, that is how you will be able to recite on the day of Qiyamah. And this is a direct encouragement for the Huffaz. Don't rush in your recitation, no matter what happens. If there is nobody in the masjid behind you because your taraweeh takes so long, no problem, Allah is with you. Allahu Akbar. On the day of Qiyamah, they will see why you did what you did. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a true lesson. We don't compromise the words of the Quran. I had a brother who told me that, you know, in sujood, we are a little bit quick, and in tilawa, we are a little bit slow. What is the reason? And I said, there is a clear cut reason for that. When it comes to salah, there are certain things that are farad, certain things that are sunnah, certain things that are nafil, certain things that are haram, they'll break your salah. There is no ways that we can compromise the recitation of the Quran, never ever. That is haram, it will break your salah. You don't ever compromise the recitation. But the farad, when it comes to ruku' and sujood, might be one of the subhana rabbi al-azeems and a'las. Though the sunnah may be 3 and 5, we try our best to adopt the 3 and the 5, but it is better to shorten the sujood than to hasten the recitation. And that is clear for anyone who has a brain. Ideally, it is better to lengthen both. But when we have people who look at their clocks every few minutes, we have a problem. What should we compromise? The farad or something that is of a lesser degree, but also important? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us take our time when it comes to salah, even in the sujood. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of us more conscious so that we can say subhana rabbi al-a'la at least 5 times before we get up, in a nice manner that we can understand. Ameen. So this is the Quran, the power of the book. And this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that makes mention of the story of shaitan, and how shaitan had a discussion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and promised him that he would lead man astray. We've spoken about that story a few nights back. Then Allah says he has prepared for the muttaqeen jannah. Those who are conscious of Allah, he has prepared for them jannah. And Jannah is obviously something that is described in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so beautifully. فِيهَا مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. In Jannah, there will be those things, or the things of Jannah. How will they be and what will they be? They will be that which no eye has ever seen. So if your eye has seen something magnificent, Jannah is better. That which no ear has ever heard. Two things are meant in this. If your ear has heard anything, so in Jannah is better. And if your ear has heard the description of anything, in Jannah is better. Then Allah says in that hadith, it is narrated to us, and obviously it comes, the source of it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that no heart of any man, no thought or no imagination of man would have ever been able to think up anything that is in Jannah. This means, close your eyes and imagine the most magnificent of unbelievable items in Jannah is better. Subhanallah. That is why Let us get there first. Then inshallah we'll be able to be in a better position to describe exactly what is there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all to Jannah in the same way He's gathered us here. Beautiful numbers this evening, mashallah. May He gather us in Jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks at the end of Surah Al-Hijr about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this also is a very, very powerful verse. Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that the utterances of the kuffar against you, the rumors they are spreading, the statements they are making, they are tightening your chest. We know that. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدُرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that your chest is tightening because of their statements. What were their statements? Very dangerous statements. The first thing, they accused him of being a womanizer. If you want women, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll give you the most pretty and most beautiful of all our women. He said no. Then they accused him of being a person who was after money. If you want money, we will make you the richest from amongst us. No. Then they accused him of being after power and leadership. If you want power, we make you our king. He said no. And he said the famous statement, if you put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left, and you ask me to give up what I am uttering, it will not happen. Subhanallah. And they accused him of being a person involved in witchcraft. Allah protect us all. They accused him of being a poet. They accused him of being a cheat. And he knew he was sent by Rabbul Alameen. Imagine how he felt. Allah says he tightened his chest. Now tightening of the chest, how do we describe it nowadays? If you go to the doctor and you say, my chest is feeling very tight, first thing he'll do, test your blood. Your blood is gone thick. There is probably cholesterol. You may be suffering an angina attack and so on. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the solution. Allah says, what should you do? Sabbih bihamdi rabbik. Praise Allah on all conditions. Thank Allah, praise Him, never stress. Nothing should bother you besides if you have transgressed. Nothing should bother you if you are on the right side and the right page with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing should bother you. Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal wa a'udhu billahi min hali ahli an-nar. We thank Allah on every condition, but we only seek the refuge of Allah from the condition of those who shall be cast in the fire. So the first solution, سَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. Declare the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Rabb. وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. And be from amongst those who prostrate. Why prostration? Today, mashallah, we find ourselves feeling lazy to read salah. Whereas prostration itself has so much in terms of spiritual benefit as well as medical benefit. That position of sujood is the only position that a human being can comfortably get into where the brain is lower than the heart. So what happens? The oxygenated blood that is required by the brain in order to resolve the crises of the whole body happens to be flowing through gravity and no longer through the pumping of your heart as much. Though the heart continues to pump, but it's much easier. This is why sometimes when we are not used to making sujood, or when a person has a sickness, they feel a pulse in their head when they are in sajda. Because now the blood is gushing, the oxygenated blood is actually gushing to the brain. That is what is required. Subhanallah. When they try to make your blood thin, for what reason? So that it can pump around the whole body quite easily, starting with the oxygenated blood going to the brain. Because that is the most important. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us lessons from even the medical aspects that will benefit us through salah and various other acts of worship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that. The lesson is for all of us. We always need to thank Allah. Let us find ourselves in sujood. Whenever you think you have a problem, turn to Allah. Turn to salah. Turn to the two raka'at of salah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who will alleviate the suffering and grant you comfort. May He grant me, myself and yourselves, the comfort that we are looking for. Ameen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the next surah, which is Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of how important it is to ask those who have knowledge of the scriptures, those who have knowledge of the Quran, those who are given knowledge of the deen. Whenever you have a question regarding the deen, don't just arrive at your answer on your own. Ask those whom you trust their level of knowledge. Ask them, seek knowledge. Allah says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالزُّبُرِ. If you don't understand the revelation, ask those who have sound knowledge of it, and they will explain to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who can utilize the ulama in our midst. And I constantly say, Allah has placed ulama in our localities, in our towns, in our cities, for a reason. And one of those reasons, He is going to question us. I placed an alim down the road from you. How did you benefit from him? We won't have any excuses if we haven't. There were so many lessons in the masjid down the road from you. How many did you attend? Subhanallah. What answer are we going to have? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely going to ask us, because it is not a coincidence when ulama come to live in our area and we happen to be honored to have an alim as a neighbor. Subhanallah, it's not a coincidence. 20 years they'll be with us. After that, if we haven't benefited from them, wallahi, we are doomed. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us, but I placed one of my friends right next to you. Where were you? Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deep understanding. No matter what our occupation is, it is never ever difficult to get to the masjid and to attend the lessons and the lectures that we have there. It is not difficult. Sadly, we give preference to the dunya so much, and a few small distractions distract us from Allah and from the message and from those who are bearing that message, such that we tend to disassociate ourselves even from ulama. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding, and may He always make us from those who are concerned about the knowledge we have, and may we be from amongst those who can learn more as the days pass. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how on the day of Qiyamah, every soul shall be defending itself. Listen to the description. Powerful description. يَوْمَ تَأْتِي كُلُّ نَفْسٍ تُجَادِلُ عَن نَفْسِهَا. On that day, every soul will come defending itself. Imagine you're in a court about to be executed, and you need to talk, you need to say, no, it wasn't like this, it was like that. I'm telling you, no, that's not how it was. Allah says, every soul will be defending itself in every way they can imagine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and make it easy for us. Wallahi, the best bet that we have is to enter Jannah through the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nothing will bother us, alhamdulillah. We ask Allah to grant us Jannah without hisab, kitab, no reckoning, no accounting. Because we've learnt that there are large chunks of people who will be chosen for that to happen. May we be from amongst them. This is why it's important to have a good heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about Jannah. This is very important. He was asked by his companions, O Messenger of Allah, the people in heaven, what are the qualities that led them to gain entry into heaven? What made them gain entry into Jannah? Is there anything that is in common? And he answered in the affirmative. He says, look, two things. The main qualities that has driven people into Jannah, taqwa Allahi wa husnul khuluq, subhanallah. The consciousness of Allah, number one, and good character and conduct, number two. So the bulk of the people in Jannah will be there because they had very good character and conduct, and they were conscious of Allah. This is why when a person does not have good character and conduct, they do not stand a chance to enter Jannah easily. They don't. Why do we say this? Because part of taqwa is for you to have good character and conduct. Part of your consciousness of Allah is for you to have a method of speech, how you address others, how you treat others. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum will be in paradise in the highest of ranks. Why? Because Allah describes them, يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. They gave preference to others over themselves even when they were in dire need of what they were about to give away. Those were the companions. With us, for a little light, we argue and we fight. Switch on, switch off. Like little children, for an air condition, we fight. We want it our way. How are we going to get Jannah then? Subhanallah. Give it to them their way. Nobody must argue about it. Allahu Akbar. We want Jannah in return. That is character. That is the description of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And this is something we need to learn. Sometimes the debate is over a small material item. Wallahi, as old as we are not ready to budge. Subhanallah. Allah says, display that character. That is when you will achieve Jannah. Remember, if something will take you to Jannah, it can't be easy. It needs to come with lots of discipline. Believe me, you need to swallow that anger, extinguish it. That is what will make you of good character and conduct. The hadith says, Ala inna sil'atallahi ghaliyah. Behold, the commodity of Allah, meaning Jannah, is expensive. It's not cheap. It's not something you can just end, unless obviously you are fortunate. May Allah grant us that good fortune. But it's something you need to work for. You need to work towards. Subhanallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us entry into Jannah. This is why one of the last verses we read tonight, Allah says, when you are calling even the non-Muslims towards Islam, use the best approach. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah. Call towards Allah with lots of wisdom, subhanallah, and tact. And Allah says, when you are explaining to them, when you are debating with them, do it with utmost respect. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us good character and conduct. Really, it is a huge, huge topic. Every one of us has room for improvement. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit myself and yourselves, inshallah, until we meet again tomorrow on better conditions. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.